Tonight, Father, we know you're in the room. And Father God, hearts are hungry and they're thirsting after you tonight. Move in a way you haven't moved before, Father. Bring us into that glory realm where we will never change back to the old. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. Give us ears to hear tonight, Father God, what thus saith the Lord. And Father God, we thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. You're always right there with us, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a whole lot of battles going on right now for your soul. Satan's trying to take you out of the very hands of God. And if you don't believe that, start watching what you do in your life. Start watching your thought lives. Look at the battles you're not having to fight anymore. Tonight I want to, Bonnie Jones put in a word, and I want to read this tonight. And she titled it, "The Breaker Box is Turning On Again, Get Ready for Light and Power." And I'm reading this because this is what God has told us. And this is all her talking. "Today, in this time of harvest, the Lord is reaching down to touch his anointed ones with a limitless supply of fresh oil." He's been telling us that's what your altar calls have all been about. "This oil is being poured out on his bride as he releases power and might." What's he releasing? Power and might. Power is kingdom authority. Might is a demonstration of the kingdom's power. Let's go back and read that again. Power is kingdom authority. Might is a demonstration of the kingdom's power. It's the spoken word in agreement with the Holy Spirit. He wants his bride to know him in power and in might. I hope that each one of you are so hungry and so thirsty for that the glory of God in all of its fullness, that's all what you think about it. That you want to be consumed by that power and that might so you can be walking in the glory all the time and not just in and out. Because God is taking us to a place where we will walk in the glory all the time. Zechariah 4:6 says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Remember when God said that, you know, religion was gone? It was spirit calling unto spirit. He said that about 5 years ago. And you could no longer be walking in religion and receive from him. He could not use you if you was walking in religion. You had to be walking in the spirit. Now, this is her dream of the breaker box. "Recently, I was shown people sitting in darkness. When I asked why, they responded, 'The power has gone out.'" And isn't that what's happened in the church? "I climbed a ladder to change a fuse in the breaker box, but to my surprise, when I pulled the cover off, I found it to be an old clock without hands. I could tell that it was very, very old, but once the cover was removed, the face was very clear. On the face of the clock was a farmer holding a pitchfork with bales of hay behind him. I knew the clock had not been used for a very long time. When I reached out to change the fuse, the box caught fire. The heat from the flames was intense, but the flames did not burn me. They radiated my face." What did God say? He's going to make us beams of fire to send out there in this God-forsaken world. This is her interpretation. "I knew that we, the redeemed of the Lord, were the hands of time. We were the laborers that were going forth into the Lord's harvest field. The veil has been removed, 2 Corinthians 3:16-18, and no longer will we sit in darkness. Isn't that wonderful? If you really would believe what God is telling people, you would get excited just by getting awake in the morning. We as a body will move from one degree of glory to another. It's harvest time. See, you have to believe this to receive this. And that's why we're not where God wants us to be, is because we're not believing, so therefore we're not receiving the fullness of what God wants us to receive. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, every time we come into the church and God change and God ministers to us, we go to a different level of glory. But we don't understand that each service takes you from glory to glory. And we've just because we didn't feel something, we feel like we think we're the same when we leave as what we were when we came in. But that's not true. God never wastes a service. He always does something. And don't let the devil tell you he doesn't. Now she talks about the dark night of the soul. For 2 years, the church has gone through the dark night of the soul. I thought at least it had to be 100. Been a long time, more than 2 years, I believe. It has been brought low and reduced back to its foundations. We haven't had the light and power we need for a long time to check the unsaved. See that? The switch will now be turned on to reveal light to our souls. Then she says, light. Get ready for your light to shine in a very dark time, so those who dwell in darkness will see your light. Didn't God just give us a prophetic teaching about the light the other night? Isaiah 61:2. Arise, shine, our verse up there, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness of people, but the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will shine upon you. Do you realize how important we are to God? He gave us that's our verse, the church verse, and he said the glory's already on us. Remember, and God told me the glory's already here, but it's not in the fullness yet. So the glory's been here, but we're looking for something else, and we have been missing what God wanted to do with us all along. All right, she says crossing over. The church hasn't had the power to light up and advance the way we were called to do. When the Lord turns on the breaker, it will light up our understanding. And with understanding, we can accomplish the things he's called us to do. And I think every one of us, I know I do, God, I need more understanding of what you're doing in this hour. Because we don't really understand what God's doing or getting ready to do. And you can either flounder around in the dark and keep your faith, or you can flounder around in the dark and sink. Because God knows it, we don't know. And he's encouraged us before this all happened to build up our faith, didn't he? It's time for the crossover. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Power. That's why I like that song, you know, we're fighting a battle we've already won. God's always with us no matter what we're going through. He's constantly by our side. You know, and the last week I've thought about Job and how, you know, Job just, you know how devastated he was. He had everything and then had nothing and laid sick with, have you ever had a boil? You know, they hurt. As a young child, I had boils, and he was covered from the head to toe with boils. I just had him in my toes. I felt very sorry for him. He suffered a lot, and he could never figure out why. But one day, God showed up, and God healed him. And he was able to go forth praising the Father, and he had more in the end than he had in the beginning. See, we don't want to let go of what we have in the beginning. And God's trying to get our hands off of that so he can bless us abundantly. Power. We are ready to go forth in power and might with the holy ray of God beaming forth from us, bringing healing, deliverance, and salvation. Now remember, this is Bonnie Jones speaking. Get ready for light. Now this was exciting because of what God told Brother Christopher. When I read this yesterday, I had to call him at work and tell him about it. Get ready for light beams to come forth from our hands as we minister. Now that isn't exactly what he said to him, but what he said to him was, get ready, I'm getting ready to show you light beams. You know, and so I told him, you better tell me what you see. And Habakkuk 3:4 says, his brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. And there his power was hidden. In his hands with the light beams was the power. This is why God says you have to have clean hands and a pure heart. If you have dirty hands, you know, a hand on pornography or whatever you do with your hands, God can't use your hands because he uses your hands to heal. Are you listening? All right, authority. On the Day of Atonement, many people were promoted and given new authority to go forth. Now get ready for the Word of God to go forth in power evangelism. Power comes out of the human spirit and anoints the tongue so that it releases evangelism. In the natural, our power comes through a breaker box. In the spirit, the breaker box has been turned off. Our Messiah is turning the breaker on again. So get ready for light and power. And this is why I'm excited about you younger people in here. You're just going to be so full of the anointing, you know, that if us older guys aren't careful, we'll be jealous. I mean, really, you guys are going to carry the anointing like crazy. And God's going to use you to do great and powerful things. And I am rejoicing over that because we need fresh meat in the body of Christ. The old meat is stinketh. You would have sat around so long it got rotten. But God needs fresh new blood in the body of Christ. And you young people, I hope you realize that. And I hope that you realize the anointing that God wants to place upon you. You know, God doesn't have to use you few. He can bring somebody else in. So, you know, if you don't want to, you young people, if you don't want to be used by God, he won't use you. Because he can always replace you. Too many people believe, well, God needs me. No, he doesn't. Well, he does, but no, he doesn't. He has a multitude, just like he had a multitude of angels. He's a multitude of people that he can replace you with. All right, I'll read this again. Our Messiah is turning the breaker on again, so get ready for light and power. Do you understand what this youth group is going to do? You're not going to outshine us older people. I have such a wonderful feeling about this youth group because I know there's going to be miracles after miracles being performed in their services. I just know that. And I can't hardly wait to get it started just like Tiana and those can't. But, you know, we have to follow a little bit of guidelines here. But I'm excited. And I hope that you girls, just the ones that are whoever starting it, I hope that you keep yourself pure before the Lord. And I hope you just are there with great expectations. I mean, expect God to move. Expect God to do the great and mighty things because that's what he wants out of you. And the more you expect from him, the more he's going to give you. All right. Don't let the old fogies come here and tell you what to do either. It's a youth group. All right, starting with the young people. You guys have had your chance. Missed up. No, you did. Not. I'm talking to the older people. Not entirely, but sort of you did. Did we read Micah 2:13? The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with a Lord at their head. You know, when she was talking here about the evangelistic anointing, God's been showing me that that this is what this is why this church is going to be, you know, busting at the seams, because it's going to be it's an evangelistic church, and that's the way God's going to minister. And when it'll be like Catherine Kuhlman, I don't like to say Benny Hinn because of what he did, but so Catherine Kuhlman, you know, and they'll just be the name to open up the door, and people will just come from all over and just be healed. Evangelistic anointing, all right? And I'm believing that's what's going to happen to the younger people, because, you know, they're connected to the lighthouse, and because of that, they'll be evangelistic too, and they'll just open the doors and let the miracles flow. Are you getting this? Come on now. The breaker will give light for breakthrough. In the early 70s, Bob Jones was shown a breaker box, and the Lord had his hand on the handle. Bob was told there would be a time when he would pull the handle down and connect the power. Now she says this year he's pulling the handle on the breaker and turning on the power. This is the year. Before this year ends, this great harvest is going to be coming in, and the power of God is going to be seen everywhere. All right? So we're at the right place at the right time. Now you just have to make sure the enemy doesn't take you out. Looking back on the past, a fading glory, you can change nothing. But looking to the future, you can change now and the future. So turn your back on the past and look forward to today and the future. That was her teaching. I think it's absolutely positively wonderful what God is doing to the body of Christ. I know that we have gone through the strictest test that we could possibly ever go through. And you and God said when this is over, we'll never have to go through it again. And I know that God is letting, you know, we're being tested. He's showing Satan that we are not going to be moved. He's letting Satan see that no matter what you throw their way, they're going to stand. And they're going to stand tall and stand firm. So don't you dare let God down. You stand your ground at all costs. And I know you. I know the people are being fought. I feel you, and God talks to me about you. I know what you're doing, and some of you are doing things you shouldn't be doing, and you need to quit before you lose your mantle. All right? There is nothing in this world that can compare to walking in the glory. You know, when you just... You know, because I've been there. When you just walk into a room and healings begin. Do you know how powerful that is? You know, why would you sell yourself short and give yourself over to the devil and lose that? You just don't understand how wonderful it's going to be. All right, now, this is what God had given me before I read Bonnie, so we're going to go into this. It's God created. I think this is interesting. God said, beyond memories, I am taking my children on a walk down memory lane. Well, he says beyond memories, period. Then he said, I am taking my children on a walk down memory lane, period. I am taking them by the still waters where they will learn to be still and know I am God. And Tiana put an article in the bulletin about that. It's really good. I am not only God over the heavens and the earth, I am God over everything. All right? My people seem to forget who created all things. For some reason, they believe they created, or even more bizarre, some cosmo being. They have forgotten that without me, nothing would exist. They have erased me totally out of the picture of creation. They have become like Satan, and they think they are God. All right? He said, I kick Satan out of heaven because of prideful ways. I will also turn my back on those who think they are God, and they will have their part in the lake of fire. You know, you be careful when you're ministering. I'm going to do. I'm going to say. I. Yeah, you will. But you've just turned yourself over to a prideful spirit. And you need to turn around and say, if God doesn't do it, it's not going to be done. This is a problem in the body of Christ. We get pride, but well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to say this, and that's pride. With God's help and with His knowledge, this is what I hope I can do. I'm hearing too much of people taking the credit for what God is supposed to be taking the credit for. All right, then God goes on to say, does not my word say, so I went into Genesis 1:19 because this is where He took me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Remember, He said, we forgot who created. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields. Listen to what it says here. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields, seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind. Whose seed is in itself? We know that if you open up an apple, the apple's inside, right? So He said the seed was in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields forth fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, with my little pea brain, I read all that about the seeds and the herbs. Are we supposed to not be eating meat? You know, God didn't say here's meat that you can eat. What did they do? They must have just ate herbs. You know, that's what it says. And then you had your apple. Well, you had your figs and whatever they had then, you know. And so they ate different than we do. That's probably why they could live to be 1,000 years old. They were eating all good natural stuff, right? And I really believe that might be where some people get, you know, say that we should be vegetarians or whatever they say. Just food for thought. Just look at that. Maybe we need to go back there, because God told me the food that you were eating is killing you. Maybe He was telling me to go back and eat the bark of the tree. I'm just joking. But He might be telling me that I need to start eating herbs, you know, and quit eating the poisonous food that the world is putting out there for us to eat. All right, verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Everything God created, He saw was good. And the world is trying to pervert it and say it's bad. But God, when He looked at it, it was good. Now, who was with God in the beginning? In John 1:1-5, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was with God when he made the heavens and the earth. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I've heard people argue the fact that Jesus wasn't in the beginning, that the Holy Spirit wasn't in the beginning, but it also says that the Holy Spirit hovered over. And there it said that the Word was with God. So in the beginning you had the three, God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. All right, what was the next thing God created? Let's go to Genesis 1:20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl, that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament. So here now where he's making the creatures, right? And God created Noah's great big whale and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, not Noah. Who was that was in the whale? It wasn't Noah. Jonah, yeah, but see, God created that whale just for Jonah because he knew Jonah was going to mess up. That's a lie. He created the whale. He'll create a whale for you, you know. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Did you ever think about, when you look at some of these creatures from way back when God created all them, and you look at them and he thought they were good, but they look horrible, right? But what we think is good and what God thinks is good is two different things. And God blessed him, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. So he blessed them, saying, he must have talked to them, right? That's what my word's telling me. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So God created the cows and the horses and everything else when he was creating. They didn't come back, come according to this. They were created at the beginning, right? They didn't come 2,000 years down the road. All right, what was the next thing God created in Genesis 1:26 through 28? And God said, let us make man. Here we go. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God not only created man in his own image, is what I want to bring out here. He gave man dominion over every living thing. All right? What was the last thing God did for man? And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So right there he's telling you that all that little grassy stuff I've made is for you, for you act like it's meat. Isn't that what that says? And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. So he's saying here too that the beasts were supposed to eat the herbs of the earth too, right? That's why you see cows going around on the grass. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. What did God do on the seventh day? He rested. He rested. The seventh day was Sunday. Well, we won't go into that, okay? Genesis chapter 2, 1 through 3. With this, the heavens and the earth were completed, including all of their vast array. By the seventh day, God had completed the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he stopped working on everything he had done that he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God stopped working on everything that he had been creating. On the seventh day he rested, and he made that day holy. Exodus 16:23. He told them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is to be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Then set aside whatever remains and keep it until morning. Now, you know, the Amish do not cook on Sundays. They cook all their food Saturday, and then they have a smorgasbord on Sunday, you know, when after church. This is why I will not allow birthday parties or anything else being held, or anything held on the church on a Sunday, because God gave us 7 days to do our stuff, and he wants one day for him, and that is the seventh day. And even with the cooking, if you think you're going to starve to death, or you're going to need something to eat, then you're supposed to cook it the night before so you can eat it the next day. I really believe with all my heart, if we would see, people don't give God Sundays. They go to movies, they go out, you know, shopping, they do everything under the sun. But God said, give me that day. I won't allow anybody work in my house on a Sunday. That's God's day. I don't care if they're heathen or not. That's still my home, and I don't want it cursed. All right, the man was placed in the garden in Genesis 2:8 and 9. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden toward the east, where he placed a man whom he had formed. The Lord God caused every tree that is both beautiful and suitable for food to spring up out of the ground. The tree of life was also in the middle of the garden, along with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden in order to have him work it and guard it. The Lord God commanded the man, you may freely eat from every tree of the garden, but you are not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because you will certainly die during the day that you eat from it. So he gave Adam the instructions of what was not supposed to be done in the garden. He didn't give it to Eve. He gave it to old, wonderful, powerful, prideful man. All right. Now, the creation of woman. Later, in verse 18, later, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make the woman to be an authority corresponding to him. After the Lord had formed from the ground every wild animal and every bird that flies, he brought each of them to the man to see what he would call it. Whatever the man called each living creature became its name. So the man gave, I think he must have been on pot. You know, when he named some of the creatures, I'm just joking. Because I've often wondered, where in the world do you ever get all these different names from? Maybe some of his herb was pot. We don't know, do we? Just putting a little humor in here. Okay, so the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God formed the rib that he had taken from the man into a woman. It's his rib that he formed into a woman, all right? And brought her to the man. So the man exclaimed, at last, this is bone from my bones and flesh from my flesh. This one will be called woman, because she was taken from man. Therefore, man will leave his father and his mother and cling to his wife, and they will become one flesh, even though both the man and his wife were naked, they were not ashamed about it. You know, I know some, like Florida and some places, Germany, they have the nudist colonies, and I think, how can they do that? But, you know, one run around naked and think nothing of it, but yet God made us naked. Somebody used to, it says, naked you come into the world, naked you go out. That's what Job says. And people say, so God didn't want us to wear clothes. Keep your clothes on, please. All right, so we learned all about God created everything. everything. He created the snakes, everything. He created the angels, created Satan. He created everything. God said, as you can see, I, the Lord thy God, created all things in heaven and in the earth. You created absolutely nothing, so why are you trying to tell me how to run the nations? I gave you dominion over all things I created, and by way of the sin of disobedience, Adam handed that dominion over to the dark abyss. We blame it on Eve, but Adam, it was a man, the man, and he listened to the woman because he wanted to. And he turned that dominion that God gave to us over Satan. The Bible tells you that Satan is a god of this earth. I read about it in how many scriptures tell me. I didn't quite believe that, but it's in there. So God tells us that Satan can only take from us and do to us what we allow him to. Because we have dominion. But if we're going to give that dominion over to Satan, he's going to take everything from you. All right? The dominion's still there. But you have to keep it. You have to tell the enemy, no, you're not taking nothing from me. Remember the story about the pea field in the Bible? Where the enemy every year come and stole the guy's pea field. And finally one year he said, no, I'm done. You're done. He stood in the middle of his pea field and said, you're not stealing from me anymore. And they didn't steal his peas that year or any other year. But it wasn't until he stood his ground and said, you're finished with me. This is my pea field. I have dominion over this and you don't. And I'm not giving it to you anymore. You own dominion. All right. God said, the monster of death, whose only desire is to destroy the beauty I created my children. Let's go back here and read this again. I gave you dominion over all things I created, and by way of the sin of disobedience, Adam handed that dominion over to the dark abyss. The monster of death, whose only desire is to destroy the beauty I created for my children, you turned your dominion over to this monster of death, is what God is saying. You turn it over to him. And God is telling us, turn it around. Take back what the enemy has stolen. Well, all right, he does say that. You must take back what you allowed the enemy to destroy. You must stand in the authority I have given you. I did not give the enemy dominion over all the earth. It is time to restore. It is time to come forward and conquer the darkness. It is time to get out of disobedience, follow my word of truth, and bring in the harvest. All right, Barbara, so you have this brand new home, and the enemy keeps coming and stealing from you. It keeps causing one problem after another. When are you going to stand your ground? When are you going to say, this is my pea field? Get out of it. Get your hands off of it. Make him stop. Whatever it is that the enemy's harassing you with, you need to take back the dominion that you allowed him to have. You might even want to say to him, I might have been stupid yesterday, but I'm not stupid today. I have the wisdom of God flowing through me. Is he taking your job? Make him get his hand off of your job. Whatever, is he harassing your kids? Keep standing your ground for your kids until he finally gets the idea, well, they're not going to give up, so I'm going to have to. God gave us dominion. We need to take it back. There isn't one of us in here, including me, that has not, in our stupidity, given dominion in some area over to Satan. And we have to take it back. So what are you going to do about this? Satan didn't create anything. And I'm sorry, the stuff that goes on in the world, the dark stuff, Satan didn't create that. He just put an idea out there and everybody just yielded to it. You created it by walking in it. All right, let's just say, here I go with these holes again. Let's just say, so some person wanted to make money. So they said, let's just put holes in clothes and sell them. and have some big well-known person wear the clothes. And so what everybody's, oh, well, they wear them, I'll wear them too. Next thing you know, you're wearing tattered clothes out of the Salvation Army, you know, and they're making all kind of money off of you. This is the things we do. I just used that because that's a pet peeve of mine. But this is the things we do. When I was going to school, if you even had a patch on your clothes, they shunned you because you were poor and they didn't want anything to do with you. Now, if you wear a suit to church, people look at you like you have two heads on your shoulders. Isn't that the way it goes? Yeah, don't let that bother you. If you want to dress up for church, dress up for church. I wear pants because we have to be on the floor with the people. And I was getting tired. I had to worry about where my neckline was and where my skirt was and making demons come out all at one time. So I just dressed appropriately. So, you know, guys, quit allowing the world to dictate how you're going to walk, talk, dress, whatever. Somebody was saying to Gabriel, you ought to try our church because, boy, we have a loud band and they're really good. The music isn't going to save him. And I was a bit upset about that. And I haven't talked to him yet, but he's a real good little person that I know all of his life. He could tell me, you don't come to my church and try to steal my people with your loud music. You know? What are you going to do about this tonight? God told Bonnie Jones that he's ready to release his power and his might. Are you ready to receive the power and the might that God wants to give you right now? I don't know about you, but I think we're running out of time. I think we're wasting too much time. I think we're thinking, well, you know, God, maybe tomorrow I'll be ready for it. No, you won't. He might drop it in the middle of the night tonight, and you might be doing something you shouldn't be doing, and you'll miss the glory. God's pulling at your heartstrings today, and he's saying, I want all of you. I want all the junk. And I'm going to tell you right now, God's upset, and he's ready to pull the plug on you. So it's up to you where you're going to end up at. God wants to give us more power and might tonight. Do you want to walk in that? The altar's open, but you're going to have to give him your junk. Now, if you're not ready to give him this junk, please don't go up here and waste space.